kids don't care about hangovers.
No. Yeah. In fact, I'm pretty sure they understand and they hone in on it.
I'm going to make it moan of weakness. Hello, you. It's time to pour one out with the Pouring Old Man. My name is Russell. Joining me today is the flight captain, Warren Crawford.
G'day, mate. How you going?
I'm good, mate. Pitty is busy getting a mani-pedi today, I believe, so he's not with us. But yep. Today's a special episode, Pitty. Warren, I nearly called you Pitty. Whoops. Warren, where are we, mate?
Today, we are on location at Happy Valley Brewing in Stafford. And with that, we've got the owner here having a bit of a chat with us.
Hello, Shane. Guys. Hello. I do like Annie Petty comment before. Do you reckon he's wearing a skirt while he's getting it done as well?
Probably, yeah. It's a warm day outside, so he probably is, actually. So.
When people come up and ask for, you know, like non-alcoholic drinks, I usually point to the water bottle on the end of the bar and just say, like, there, here you go. And then, have you got your skirt on today as well? You
know? Do you serve in, like, fancy frilly glasses? Yeah. Where they had to have pickies out while drinking them or something.
But... with a cocktail umbrella and a slice of lime. No, sorry, mate, just beer here.
I know, that's actually, you know, I guess one of the defining aspects of this place, isn't it, really, is it's basically just beer.
It is just beer, yeah. So with our producer wholesaler license, everything's got to be made on site.
Yep.
So when people come in, see that we've actually got 16 taps and then go, look, is everything made here? Is it all of this made here? It seems to be, they get surprised that everything is done here and nothing's off site. So, yeah.
Well, I suppose there is a lot of places around these days that generally don't brew on site.
Yeah,
offload it.
And like, say four taps of their own beer, and then, you know, they've got six other guest taps or, you know, 10 other guest taps. So here it's primarily all us.
Yeah. Especially with people used to just walking into a pub and having everything made around the world and not used to the intricacies of the craft beer license as well. So knowing that, you know, the restrictions that you have and what you can and can't sell. So
Yeah, definitely.
There is, however, a sneaky cider.
Yes. But that one's special as well. So not only is it just a cider, when people come in and say, oh, do you have a cider? It's not a general cider that you'll find anywhere else. So we get apples crushed in Stanthorpe, 1,000 litres of apple juice gets delivered. We called it the backyard cider because out the back of the brewery, we have four red wine barrels.
Yeah.
Now, these came from the Hunter Valley. I stuck my nose in about 60 wine barrels before I was happy with these four. The apple juice goes straight in, primary ferment in the French oak Shiraz barrel.
Yep.
So it comes out, it pretty much, the apple juice dictates to us what the flavor is going to be like. So we don't have much residual sweetness that's left in there. It's more of a dry cider, but you do get a bit of that French oak that's really, really special.
Yeah,
so
wow.
It doesn't touch any stainless. It goes straight into those wine barrels and, really, really tasty. Yeah,
fantastic.
And then it's come out at 7% as well. So it's not a light cider. It's something that, you know, has got a bit of bang for buck and really tasty, pretty sessionable as well.
Yeah, it's definitely a popular one with the wife.
Yeah,
she enjoys
some ciders. Yeah, awesome. We've recently just got an ice machine, so if we want to dull it down a bit, we can, you know, throw some ice in a schooner glass and, you know, just make it a bit more light alcohol.
Yeah,
instead of being so strong.
Yeah. Actually, I know one of the other defining points for the beers that you've got here as well is they're all gluten reduced.
Yes.
Which is massively popular.
Really good.
I did not know. Yeah.
So everything on the board that says GR is gluten reduced.
Yeah.
This means that it's less than 20 parts per million. So I've had some really full-on celiacs in here that if they pick up a crumb, they're on the shit for a couple of days. You know, they've come in and they've really tested it. Usually it was the guy in question, it usually takes him 20 minutes before his gut starts to bloat up from the gluten in his stomach.
Yeah,
he sat down at 12:30, at 10 to 1 I checked in. Zero reaction. He continued on to drink another 10 beers.
Thorough research.
But at the end of the day, he came up and he said, listen, man, I'm 37 years old. Since I was 19, I haven't been able to drink in a brewery.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't been able to drink off tap. So, you know, you've changed my life. Do you mind if I post you on the socials? And we got a heap of customers from that. So we've had 30 or 40 proper celiacs in here that have had no reaction to
it. Was it a deliberate thing or was it just a...
Yeah, definitely. So there's a few... it's probably 1% of people are celiac.
Yep.
So it's not much, but having that difference where they can come and relax and the face and their eyes that light up when they're like, whoa, you know, like it's just... It's unknown to them, so which really makes a difference.
Yeah,
you know.
Yep.
It's I guess, you know, what a life going from 19 to 37 without being able to drink beer.
Yeah.
I can't imagine it.
Oh, I couldn't either. Yeah, not at all.
But, look, I guess I've spoken about you a bit on this podcast.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. Number one shareholder, number one fan. Wears Happy Valley underwears all the time.
Yeah, they're my own nation. I do pop in quite regularly, but I guess in terms of our listeners, you know, maybe you can give us a bit of background. I know you guys started right at the height of COVID last year, which was, as far as I'm concerned, a very brave move, but I think it's paid off. So can you give us a bit of story about Happy Valley?
It wasn't actually planned to open in the middle of a pandemic, so this has been going on for a few years. Mm. So originally I was driving cranes for a living, tower cranes. I did about 10 years in driving cranes, and then I did a 15-story right next to Newstead Brewery. And I started making my own craft beer from scratch in 2013. Yep. So having Newstead Brewery right next door, I started talking to the brewers and, you know, getting like, hey, you know, like I make craft beer. So I was taking my beer into the brewer there and saying, can you give me some pointers on how I can improve? And he'd give me like different ferment temperatures, you know, like just give me pointers on making better quality beer.
Yeah.
So the job came to an end, my crane came down, and I just said to him, mate, do you mind if I come in and do some work experience with you? Because, you know, I wanted to open a brewery, and I was sick of driving cranes, needed something different, needed more fulfillment in my life to finish at the end of the day and, you know, really, really appreciate what's happened. So he said, no problem. Went in, did my RDO with him, and he says to me, mate, I wouldn't mind going out on my own. I said, well, why don't we help each other and do something together?
Yep.
So over the next couple of years, we're feeling out each other, making sure finances were right, we were compatible together, what our business roles would be in the business itself. And then Happy Valley started about June 2019.
Yep.
We put an order in for our equipment in August 19, put a application into council August 19 for this place.
Yep.
We then had all of our stuff getting manufactured. We're getting updates from China. It's a Tiente system, 500 litre system. Back and forward with council.
Mm.
We hit January. Our brewing equipment is all ready. We book our tickets to China to go and inspect our equipment.
Oh, no.
That was on the 10th of January. We booked our tickets, got our Chinese visas. 18th of January, we find out 8 days later that there's COVID. There's this new mega bug going around.
Yeah.
I spoke to a couple of Chinese guys and they were like, mate, do not go, you know, like do not, it's bad, stay home. So we ended up, we got everything, every bit of money back for our flights, accommodation, transfers. The only thing we didn't get back was the $220 that we paid for our visas. They were just like,
do you mean to tell me that the Chinese government refused to refund your visa?
Yeah. Well, that seems like nice people though.
So then We don't see our equipment. It gets sent over. We're still in the middle of a pandemic. We ended up having 5 containers of gear into storage for 3 months.
Yep.
So it was pretty exciting. It was really good to, you know, like open those containers and see our brewing equipment and like, whoa, you know, it's here, it's happening, you know. Yep. Still in the head, it was a massive jigsaw puzzle, you know, so a lot of sleepless nights thinking about how it's going to work, how drainage, electricity, like all council, and you know, there was a lot involved in setting up this business.
Yeah.
And then do you remember when we had the phase 1, phase 2, phase 3 where it was getting more relaxed and relaxed? So we decided to move in on the 8th of June 2020. We opened exactly 2 months later on the 8th of August.
Wow. Mm.
So the whole fit out, we pretty much had the design of the brewery and the layout on a piece of paper which we gave to council. And that's all we had. When we opened these doors and moved in, we pretty much let the building talk to us.
Yep.
So from the green walls to the floor, like it was just as we go. You know, we knew we had to get the floors done.
Yep.
The glitter and the paint fleck. There's no breweries in town with glitter in their floor.
I thought the glitter was from Warren. He liked wearing a bit of like glitter on himself. It was here yesterday, so I thought that's what that was. So.
Twinkle eyes. Yeah. Pulling out his pockets, he's got glitter everywhere.
So did the, obviously, you know, the whole lockdown and everything, did that help you plan a better brewery, do you think? Or did it force you to have time to plan things out?
I don't think so. No. It was pretty organic the way we set up. The one thing we did benefit from is when we opened, we had a lot of media coverage because it was new craft brewery opens in middle of global pandemic. Even though it went along for a long time, there was reporters, Must Do Brisbane, Showcase Beers, Courier Mail. We had all these guys knocking on our door saying, we want to interview you. We really want, you know, to show that there is moving forward. You can do this. And the name resonates too, being Happy Valley. People see that and they want to be happy here.
Yeah.
Like it's a good vibe, nice, relaxed, easy, just chilled out. And so having all that media coverage from when we opened really helped us to sustain the 4 months from August to Christmas. Customer base and clientele coming in. Every single day people are coming in, they're talking about it. Oh, our friends recommended you, you know. So really good to see. And it's flowed on. We shut down for 2 weeks at Christmas, and then from Christmas to now, it's 8 weeks in again. We've had pretty much the same flow of traffic.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, through. Which is also why I shut down for 2 weeks over Christmas. Yeah, that's cool. Actually, just on that, so Happy Valley, where did you come up with the name and the logo?
So I did some visualization. So before we moved into this area, I walked the streets and introduced myself to all the neighbors. Hi, my name's Shane. I want to open a microbrewery in the area. And while I was doing that, I sat across the road at number 21, actually, and I just visualized and sat there and, you know, pictured myself being on the street. And before I left, I opened my phone and just Googled Stafford and then looked at the history on the wiki, went to the history. Stafford was originally called Happy Valley before Sir Thomas Brisbane changed it to Stafford because it reminded him of Staffordshire in England, where it came from.
So on
the Stafford coat of arms, I think it's a coat of arms, there's a Stafford not featured. Stafford Road used to be called Happy Valley Road.
Really?
So like just a little bit, I was tossing up like Stafford Brewing or Stafford City Brewing, or I wanted a cool name and I couldn't come up with anything. And then when I saw Happy Valley, I'm a really happy person. So it
just resonated.
It really did. It was exciting. And then designing the logo as well, I grow hops at home, and these grasshoppers that are in our logo, they ended up eating all the leaves on my hops.
Yeah.
And so... I went to Bunnings, got some Rich Grow Grasshopper and Caterpillar Killer, mixed it up in a big spray bottle, pumped it up, and I've sprayed all my hops. I'm like, yeah, die, you know, like trying to kill all these. But I actually mixed it wrong and killed the whole hop, the whole lot. So here I am trying to get rid of these grasshoppers that loves hops just as much as I do, and I've killed the whole lot. So the emblem circles are happy. I just Googled, like, you know, happy emblems, happy colors, green and gold are happy. Yep. So, and that's how the Happy Valley emblem came out.
Yeah. One of the standout things with the brand as well is your can art is just exceptional. Just the bright sort of playful sort of colours there. Like who's the brains behind this? Is it yourself or you got someone?
No, I'm not creative at all. I have no creative bone whatsoever in my body. We'd been open for about 3 weeks, and I got an email from a young lady named Liz. Mm-hmm. She sent me an email saying, look, I was here on the weekend with my family. I really enjoyed it. If you have any work behind the bar or in the brewery, my dad's a home brewer, I'd really like to, you know, get on board with you. It was a good vibe. Later on through that email, she had a resume and it says she was a second year at university as a graphic designer.
Mm.
And so my like alarm bells went off going, whoa, this girl needs to work here, you know, so she came on board, did a few weeks in the bar, and then, once we decided we were going to do some cans, we gave it to her, gave her an idea of what we were going to do, and the pop, the colours, she's a whiz. It's come up and they look smashing. They're really good.
They're eye catching. They're definitely unique compared to what other breweries do. Especially was it the Aussie one? That's not an IPA. That's or whatever it is with the Crocodile Dundee.
That's an IPA.
Yes.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah, and I think, you know, these days with the competition that's out there, good can art can set you apart. It can a lot.
Definitely.
You know,
definitely.
I know I'm a visual creature, so when I walk into a bottle shop, I look at what jumps out at me off the shelf.
Yeah, for sure. And something grabs your eye, go with it. Yeah.
And I really think what you've got really, there's a lot of colour, there's a lot of pop, and it just jumps out at you. So
and
I
great
think
beer.
Done well. Yes.
and that makes a difference. Well, too. So it looks happy, and it's Happy Valley. So, does, you know, yeah. And let's be honest, our beers were all about having a good time. So, it just works. So.
Actually, on the can, so you've got a range of cans that are, you've got a great selection of cans on offer here. just my catchphrase. But what are the plans in terms of future movement? Are you looking to, I know you've got a few kegs on tap out there.
Yeah.
But is there any plans for distribution for cans?
At the moment, being only a 500 litre system, we're pretty limited in what we can put into cans. A lot of people say you need to put, you know, beer into cans and on tap at the same time. But being so small, we move the cans a lot quicker than being able to split. So we can't, we can. We've just got to tie up more time and more effort and more tanks while we do that. Yeah. So at this stage, until we get a bigger kit, probably not into distribution, just sold directly from the brewery.
Yeah, cool. All right. On that, should we take a break?
If you want, yeah, sure.
Thank you for listening to the Pouring Old Man Happy Valley Brewing Special. We will return shortly for part two. Before we get there, let me tell you about us. Who are we? We are the Pouring Old Men, just a couple of old-timers sitting on the back porch talking about the beers we love. We release fresh episodes of the podcast into the wild every Tuesday morning on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and all your usual podcast providers. So be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode of our show. Plus, leave us a like and a review to let us know that you care. You can also catch the Pouring Old Men on Facebook and Instagram at Pouring Old Men, so be sure to drop us a like. If you'd like to get in touch with us at all, feel free to drop us a DM through either of those social media channels. Once again, we appreciate your time, and your support will help us create more great episodes of the show. Anyway, that's all from me. Here is part two from Happy Valley Brewing.
And we're back.
Hey! That was actually just a sneaky stop to go grab some more beers.
It was.
Our glasses run dry, so, you know, yeah, important business.
Yeah. Hey, look, we can't continue this on if we're unlubricated.
It's a well-lubricated podcast at times.
I know you mentioned before you were sort of just pestering the guys at Newstead when you were sitting up there, and I say that in jest, but, you know, have you got any tips for people that are looking to try and get into brewing?
Into home brewing, it's endless. So you can spend $1,000 on brewing equipment and still make great beer.
Yep.
You can spend $100,000 on brewing equipment and make great beer. And you can still make shit beer too.
Yeah, so actually, don't buy a Cooper's beer kit. From experience, I will tell you, don't do that.
Yeah, look, everybody starts somewhere, and it's all those mistakes, and, you know, you learn very quickly when you make a shit beer and you've got to dump it that, you need the kit, you need a temperature controller. Going from home brewing to pro brewing, opening a brewery, massive commitment. Yeah. If you have to be in. And, you know, they always say when you go into business, whatever you think it's going to cost, it's going to be double.
Yep.
They're right.
Yeah.
First hand, it is exactly right. You seriously need double what you think it's going to cost you. So that's a big eye-opener. And then the sleepless nights, the thinking of everything, you have to be sure you want to do it.
Yeah.
So it was a good 4 years where I wanted to do it, and I really didn't have the kahunas to step out and do it. And I'm glad I didn't, because mentally I don't think I was right. Financially, I don't think I was right. There was a lot of those driving factors that if it happened back then, I probably would have been setting myself up for failure.
Yeah.
So now I really think it was the right time, and it shows. And being open, I'm really grateful that we got open and we are where we are.
Well, when you first started brewing, was it particularly a beer that you made that you thought, holy shit, I'm onto something here?
All the stouts.
Yeah.
I live at the Gap, and you know, the water at the Gap, I don't know what it is. Like, it was so hard for me to make a nice lager or pils.
Mm.
Not that they're my style, but trying to make them, I had to dump them all the time.
Yeah.
Once I started going into the stouts, amazing, amazing beer.
Yeah.
You can hide in a lot of darker beers with some flavor-wise.
Yeah.
Then I went to water filtering. So once I've got that two-stage water filter at home, all my beers ended up being great.
Yep.
So no more faults. It was water that I had chlorine, so chlorophenolic taste, which is like a Band-Aid taste, medicinal, that comes into the beer, and it's not a nice flavor. Once you know that flavor, if there's the slightest bit in that beer, you know it's there. Yep. So yep. I just couldn't drink yep. it. So then once I went to the water filter, two-stage water filter, amazing.
Yep.
Really, really big difference.
Mm.
So as a pointer to home brewers, if your water's not up to scratch, then you need to get some water filters.
And even you know, people in the coffee trade up here in Brisbane will say Brisbane water is particularly harsh.
Yeah, yeah,
compared
definitely.
To the likes of your Sydney and Melbourne. So yep. it is critically important. The other thing I might just touch on there is, you know, you've told me a story previously about when you first started and you spent all your money.
Mm-hmm.
You basically got to the stage where you went, the last thing I've got left is my car to sell
yes.
to give me a few weeks
yes.
grace
yes.
So that this will take off. And that's kind of the commitment you need. You need to have everything on the line to push it.
That was it. So this is no bullshit. My wife, she's all for it. She knows I'll do me and I'll make it work no matter what.
Yeah.
My car was my backup. The week before we opened, I actually sat in Centrelink at Mitchelton for 3 hours to try and get a payment, because if we didn't open, I was done.
Mm.
So that gives you an idea of how tight it was,
mm.
how the schedule was, how our overheads were. When you've got people relying on you, when you've got kids, I went all in. Like yeah. I did everything I could. And financially, I had a couple of... So all the tradies, actually, here's a really good one. All the tradies that helped me out, they've actually got glasses behind the bar with their names on them. They drink for free every time they come here, and
wow.
only out of their glasses, because
yep.
I'm very, very grateful for what they did. So
yep.
The plumber, Brisbane Plumbing Co., Quinlan Refrigeration, these guys, Brad from BMJ Electrical. So
yep.
these guys have really helped me and stood out. And if it wasn't for them as well, I probably wouldn't have been open.
Yep. Yeah. Wow.
So yeah, it was very, very tight.
Yeah.
When, like I said before, when you think it's going, whatever you think it's going to cost, double it.
Yep.
It was, man.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It was very scary for my family and my wife, and you know, my car was my backup.
Yeah.
yeah.
And look, I can't imagine being in a situation where I get down to that stage.
Yeah.
But I can imagine the kind of commitment that you go, that's how far I'm prepared to push myself to get what
yes.
I want to get.
Yeah.
yeah. And look, it's come out on top. I think this is
yeah.
it's an amazing place. Mm. The energy and the vibe in here is always 100% on.
Thank you, Warren.
It's always
Thank
happy.
Yes.
It is your happy place.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
There's something reassuring when you come into a brewery like this, where it's brewery and beer first, and there's a restaurant here as well. A lot of the time,
yeah.
people seem to open a bistro. It's like, we should put in one of those fancy craft breweries. And like, it,
yeah.
Does,
yeah.
it doesn't have the same vibe. But
yeah.
there's a realness to the beer and the brewery when it's a place like that. And it's, yeah,
yeah.
just a very welcoming sort of beer place. So,
thank you.
Yeah.
Cheers. Thanks, boys.
And I think, you know, the other thing that I've noticed, certainly in recent months, is you're starting to get a few more tour groups through here.
Yeah.
The brewery scene, which is really exciting as well.
Yeah, really good. We had 14 through yesterday on a Bucks party. They come up from Newcastle.
Mm.
So
wow, really?
Yeah, really good. So they all flew up and then jumped on the tour group. First stop was Happy Valley. So all had a great time again.
Yep.
A lot of tour groups, people are starting to get the word out. We've got 5-star reviews across the board.
Yep.
So that's another... You know,
yep.
another, I guess, a pat on the back. Like,
yeah.
you know, when you get that feedback and it's all positive, it's really good.
Yeah.
It makes it, you know, like you, sometimes at night I go to bed and I've got a smile on my face, like, you know, like, wow.
That's half the beer, though.
Yeah, yeah. yeah, there's a few there too, definitely. Yeah.
But it is that. And look,
yeah.
I think what one of the things that really stands out is, kids come in, you know, dog people bring their dogs in, guys cycle in. There's always a good environment here, and it's
yeah.
family friendly, and it's pet friendly, and it's
yeah.
just everybody feels like part of the family, which
yeah.
is exciting. Yeah.
Yep.
So we do, when the kids come in as well with the lollipops, the kids know this place as the lollipop place. Can we go to get a lollipop? Do you want to go to the brewery? Do you remember the lollipops? Yes, yes, you know. So
yeah.
when they come in, we welcome the kids with a lollipop, and they love it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a really good, just something so small to make the kids feel welcome, because it's pretty daunting for the kids when they come in. A lot of noise, a lot
yep.
of people, a lot of alcohol, you know. Like,
yeah.
it's different to a generic pub that you go to that's, you know, knife and fork
yeah.
and... Yeah,
it's kind of a good marketing strategy as well. As you get the kids on board, mum and dad stay longer and drink more.
Exactly.
It's only one of the advantages that craft breweries these days have over, you know, I work in a pub and it's not a place I'll take my kids. Like,
yeah.
So you come in a place, it's you don't have pokies, you don't have anything, it's just a friendly environment these days.
Yeah, definitely.
Sure. Tell us about your beers. So in terms of, you know, you're always coming up with new ideas, new beers that you're either putting on tap or putting in the cans. How do you come up with the idea for the next beer? What's the process?
So we pretty much work with a rule here. We would never, ever put anything on tap that we wouldn't drink a keg of ourselves.
Mm. Are you listening, Moondog?
You had to throw it in there.
So you'll notice as well that 90% of our beers aren't very low in alcohol.
Mm.
Yep.
They are all high, and stylistically, they should be at that range.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we wanted to reflect in our beers and in our personalities of who we are.
Mm.
We love to drink beer. We want it right. We don't want to make an IPA that's 5%.
Yeah.
You know, it should be between 6.5% and 7.5%. You know,
so the ABV is just what it needs to be to taste better.
Basically. Exactly. Yeah. You need that full body in a beer. You want that. You want everything to come through in the beer that should be there.
Yep. And you know, I think that's something that tends to happen a lot. People are so concerned about, oh, I want it to be a session ale, I want it to be a mid strength.
Yeah.
And they kind of lose a lot of the flavour because of that.
Exactly right, definitely.
Are there any styles that you want to tackle that's coming up or anything?
No, I think we've pretty much done everything. Like, there is.
I was hoping you'd say golden ale because I miss golden ale. Like, it's an old man style.
It depends how many beers deep you are. If you look at them with one eye half closed, they'll all turn gold.
Actually,
no, so ginger beer. Ginger beer, yep. I get asked a lot for a ginger beer, so I think that'll come up.
Mm.
We actually just entered 13 beers into the Queensland Food and Wine Show.
Oh, wow, yeah. Yep.
So they got delivered yesterday. Today's Sunday. So they got delivered Friday.
Yep.
Judging is Monday the 1st and Tuesday the 2nd of March. We have the awards on Wednesday, so hopefully we can get a couple of medals out of that. And we'll see. We've pretty much just everything that's on tap here, we've put in straight in. So no hidden beers. We're not making things just for the show.
Yep.
What you drink here is what they're going to be judging.
Yep.
So stylistically, if we get a couple of medals or if we get something from it, then all good.
Yeah.
You know, it's exactly what you're drinking. Hopefully it puts us on the map a bit more. You know, we've been around for 6 months now, so which is still young for a brewery.
Yeah.
So we'll see how we go.
Do you recycle ideas? So, you know, I know previously you've had different sours on tap.
Yeah.
Do you bring them back around or is it more just a trial and error to see?
No, we do bring them. So supply and demand. When there's a call for it, when people want it, we do go back and do it again. So we'll try and tweak different versions of each beer. So the Staffordshire Red, when it first started, it wasn't too red. So we've just tweaked it so it becomes more red. It's a lot more malty. It has a little bit of rye in it as well. So it finishes just nice and a tiny little bit of spice.
Yeah.
You know, we've played around with the oats and the wheat in it. And yeah, just little things like that to make the beer better when you taste it stylistically.
Mm, cool.
Mm.
The only other question that I think I've got is just about festivals.
Have you got
any plans for upcoming festivals?
So we got invited to Brisbane Beer Fest at Eaton's Hill, 6th of March. That's Saturday next week.
Next weekend, yep.
So we did get invited to that.
Yeah.
Currently, like I said before, 500-litre system. We're flat out keeping up with what's on tap here.
Yeah.
So logistics as well.
Yeah.
So the tents, the people, getting the like the staff, the kegs out there, the refrigeration, the whole lot, focusing on the brewery and then having that as well, it was a little bit too much for us at the moment. Saying that, we had, did anybody see the tie-dye event that we had?
I did, I saw it on Facebook. Yeah.
So tie-dye, 70 people tie-dyed their shirts on a Thursday night.
Wow.
We had a couple come in and do some shirts just for wearing at the beer fest at Eaton's Hill.
Oh, nice. Brilliant.
So whoever they were, thank you for repping us. appreciate it.
Yeah, nice. Okay. That's good. Well, look, I guess from my side, I think I've got every question that I wanted answered.
Yeah.
Nice.
Look, I do want to thank you, Shane.
Very welcome,
mate.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Appreciate you
very
taking
welcome.
Some time out of your day.
Cheers.
You know, we'd love to support you and hopefully we can bring some more people in. And,
appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Keep you guys pumping along because, you know, we love what you do.
Yeah, thank absolutely. You. Fantastic.
Cheers, boys. Yeah. Thank you.
See you again. Thank you.
And so that was our interview with Shane at Happy Valley Brewing. It really was a thoroughly enjoyable and rewarding experience talking to someone with so much enthusiasm and passion for what they do. So on behalf of myself, Warren and Pity, I'd like to extend a massive thank you to Shane for giving us his time. And thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed our first ever interview episode. We are working on more episodes like this in the very near future, so stay tuned for more details, hopefully soon. That's all from us here. We have been the Pouring Old Men, and you have been awesome. We'll catch you next time.